I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
The Demon Seed.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Seed.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move and the great conspiracy had been made.
Hello, hang on. Hey, it's recording.
Oh, you, it's your Uncle John, yeah? How are you, love?
Yeah, I'm all right. We're back. Is my back? Oh. It is.
It's still playing up, is it? Fucking hell. Oh, it doesn't stop. I know. It doesn't stop, does it?
No. No, it's honestly, it's like a living hell. I wish I could die. You know, you've got to look on the bright side.
Well, you've got to keep going. You know, that's the thing I used to say to my husband. You know, before the end, you know, they were giving him the meds, everything. You just got to keep going, you know. So by the end, we chucked the rubber tube up and pumped him full of oxygen. We kept him going for another 6.5 months. He couldn't speak a word. We had to feed him through a fucking tube. We had to cause him to breathe through a fucking rubber tube. In fact, he died via a rubber tube because he tied it around his neck and hung himself. But we kept him going to the end, and that's what's important, you see.
Mm. Yeah, it might not be a very good quality of life. But, you know, I don't want to miss out on the future.
Exactly. It's still life, isn't it? You know, and that's exactly what counts, you know. I mean, look at
a hoverboard.
Oh, treat yourself.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. They're all the craze now. If the young'uns can have them, why can't you? You know?
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. You get two of them, you can lie flat on the floor, then fucking take you down to fucking spa, get your fucking mince pies and all that for Christmas. Back on your fucking hoverboard and then home in bed for 50 minutes to watch fucking Murder, She Wrote before you pass out from the intense pain. Wonderful, that is. Fucking wonderful.
And the internet. I love the internet. I got YouTube. What's that one with all the girls dancing on the TikTok?
All the dance routines. I see that as well.
I love it.
Oh, yeah. I've been getting to TikTok myself, like, you know. You dancing videos and all that, you know, really fucking going for gold, like, you know, fucking giving it some, you know what I mean? And I've got over 140 followers now. I mean, mainly it's me sort of, you know, attempting to sort of bend over in time to music, but it's getting his followers up. And you know,
if keep at it, but keep at it.
Well, exactly, you know, you've got to enjoy yourself, haven't you? You've got to enjoy yourself, you know. Otherwise, what's the fucking point, you know?
I've just started live streaming.
And
I do is I put the laptop in the greenhouse and I just live stream while I just wank.
Oh, classic, mind you. I tell you, there's a lot of money to be made off that, you know. A lot of money.
I mean, I was the OnlyFans going.
Oh, it's very well at the moment. I tell you what, I mean, I started off, you know, during lockdown with very little to do, you know, so I just thought I'd expose my cheeks, you know, the lower end, obviously not the not the cheeks on my face. And well, I was going in, and originally I was getting about fucking 200 to 300 people a week, right? To be honest, after lockdown, it did start to taper off a bit. Obviously, people are busy; they're going out doing their things and all. So I thought I'd spice it up a bit. So, I got a permanent marker and drew two eyes on the side of my ass cheeks. I lay sideways. I pretend to be Zippy from Rainbow, and then I force the shit out. I'm getting 43,000 hits a week now. Fucking classic.
Oh, send me the link.
I'll send you the link. I'll subscribe you for free because you're a mate. But the money I've made, I'm fucking getting a secondhand ZTEC Sport next week, and I'm taking it on tour. OnlyFans Live. What I'm going to do, look, is set a video camera up in various small towns and cities around the country, and people can come in and watch me filming my ass as the role of Zippy from Rainbow, pushing a shit out.
Do.
I know, amazing, isn't it? Amazing. So that's thanks to technology. Us oldies, we can have a good time as well, you know? So lovely.
In person or on the internet?
Exactly. You know, the internet's not just for young'uns. That's what I tell them, you know? If a 14-year-old can pull their bum apart online, why can't I? You know, there's nothing stopping me. Nothing stopping me.
Age equality.
Exactly. Yeah. Age equality. You know, I can do exactly the same as a young person. You know, if I want to fucking pull my bum apart and smoke a bong whilst going around offering someone 14 grand because they look slightly poorer than me, you know, just so that I can give it to them so that I get more likes on my page, I'm happy to do it. In fact, I'm getting a credit card this week and it's got a 20 grand limit on it. I'm going to take all the money out. I'm going to walk up to someone who looks considerably well worse off than me, and I'm going to say something like, excuse me, can I lend a pound? And when they say yes, I'll say, oh, you've been so generous. Here's £20,000. And I'm going to give it to them. And I'm going to film it. And I'm going to get loads of likes. And it's really going to pump my ego up because that's what young people do.
That's the thing is you can't just be charitable and do it quietly. You can't, you know, if you give a sandwich to a homeless person, you got to get a selfie. Otherwise, no note how wonderful you are.
Exactly. You know, that's why I bought 400 donuts last week. And then I filmed myself pushing them in the mouths of homeless and handicaps. And I tell you what, the amount of people that have patted me on the back for that since. And I feel like a modern day saint. I actually feel like a modern day saint because of that, you know, and that's thanks to the internet, you know.
I got cancelled last week on Twitter.
Oh, what happened?
Well, you know, you can't say anything on there these days.
You can't, can you?
But I put my foot in it. They ratioed me.
Oh, what did you say? What have you said on the? What have you said online?
Oh, I'm not saying it again. I got in trouble again.
Too shocking, was it? Oh, God,
I wasn't. I don't know what I said. I honestly think it was a typo, but it was. I had everyone leaning into me from all angles.
I shocked it in there. You know, I mean, you can't do anything.
Follow account days. Dropped.
Well, I was trying to pull myself apart outside of the local school, you know, just to show that I'm down with the kids. And apparently that's now enforced a restraining order. I'm not allowed within a 3-mile radius of the local school if I want to pull myself apart.
What's it coming to?
What's the world coming to? I mean, for God's sake, when we were kids, it was men in rain macks outside exposing themselves left, right and centre, you know. And these days, you can't even pull yourself apart for a fucking selfie in front of a school. Shocking. Absolutely shocking. You know?
It's Tony Blair, I blame. It's Tony Blair.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that Tony Blair came in with all his fucking, you know, all his fucking, you know, posh, Mondeos. Trendy. Yeah, exactly. Everybody was driving a Mondeo, but they weren't fucking, you know, they weren't looking over their shoulder and realizing that he was stifling freedom of speech. You know, back in those days, you could pull your bum apart anywhere you wanted because you were driving a Mondeo. In fact, you know, I knew people off the back of voting for Tony Blair were buying Mondeos. And then, I mean, in them days, you couldn't stream online, but they were buying video cameras from Dixon's. And then they were taking the Mondeos out up the woods and they were lowering themselves down on the joysticks and then selling VHS copies of that for £150 a time. That was Blair's Britain. You know what I mean? That was Blair's Britain.
The unassailable right to pull one's bottom apart outside an institution of education.
Oh, well, welcome to the podcast, Reese. That was a good intro there.
That was a good intro. I'm quite proud of myself. I've got the world's comfiest podcasting position. I've got the microphone stand set up. I'm laid on the bed and lovely. The dog is on my feet, keeping my feet warm.
Oh, lovely. Working from home today then? No,
I am. The kids have got a PDD, aka a Canadian Professional Development Day, which just is a training day. So right. All four kids, I'm working from home with all four kids and lovely. A dog.
Oh, lovely stuff. Have you just fobbed them off with the TV and said you go into the room to do some work now?
they're just watching Diary of a Wimpy Kid, 16 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And on the Chromebooks playing Roblox.
Lovely.
I had to block their ability to chat and make friends because random people were adding them as friends and starting conversations with them. So obviously you've got to stop that kind of thing.
Yeah, that gets a bit weird. That gets a bit cagey.
It could be a 40-year-old man.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just log out of my Roblox now before we continue with the podcast. Exactly. But
it could be you. You could be talking to my kids. So.
Hiya, boys. Now, you must have heard of Risker because you come from around near that area. What's it like in Canada at the moment? Anyway, is your dad in the shower? Can I get a couple of photos? Pop in.
Canada is like Risker, but three times the size.
Canada, it's a massive risker.
It's risker on steroids.
Oh dear! Have we got anything for the people this week? Or
I found, do you know what I've got? I've got a video I found called "Emu Attacks Johnny Carson."
Perfect.
And this is Rod Hull. Do you remember Rod Hull?
Who can forget Rod Hull? I mean,
the man born with a bird for an arm.
Wonderful man. Sadly, fell off his roof whilst adjusting his television aerial to watch football. In the,
I always remember when that happened. About five people made the same joke of the fact that he shouldn't have had his arm up at an emu while he was on the roof. Five independent people made that joke when he died.
Well, funnily enough, around about that time, shortly afterwards, I was working at the well-known rock radio station XFM. And doing a drive time show, and we used to do a little quiz there. Guess the program Rod Hull's trying to tune the aerial into on the radio, and then we.
How long did this radio show last, John?
Well, the whole station lasted about 18 months before it went under. But we had a hell of a time while we were there, and. You'd have little clips from EastEnders with the sound of Static Fuzz, and then a sort of deadly thump as he came off the roof. But a lot of happy contestants in that. We gave a lot away great prizes. A lot of great prizes there. So that was
amazing. So this video is Johnny Carson. The Johnny Carson show obviously was like a massive show.
Wogan for Americans, we're talking.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how Rod Hull ended up, campsite entertainer Rod Hull ended up on there, but also he sat next to Richard Pryor.
Wonderful. Now already what you've done there is just basically create a cheese dream, because there's no way this could be real. You could only dream this.
Well, Richard Pryor sat next to Emu.
Yeah. I mean, what is great about this, it obviously is real. You skip forward about 25 years after that had happened. Rod Hull and Emu ended up sitting next to Snoop Doggy Dogg on The Word. Do you know what I mean? He's had a long and illustrious career of sitting next to people. And that you know.
He is. He sat next to a lot of people. A lot of people you've heard of.
Let's delve into the clip. Let's just go for it. You know, this is what it's all about.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Is emu at all dangerous at all? I mean, You just upset him.
I said it again.
No, he's not. He's very nice. Right. Once you get to know him.
Right.
In fact, you can stroke him like that. He's very nice.
May I?
Yes.
So, for podcast listeners, Emu's very timid of Johnny Carson. But now Richard Pryor is stroking him.
Yeah. Richard is taking a bit of shine to Emu.
And Emu likes Richard Pryor, and now he's attacking Johnny Carson.
Now, obviously, it must be something I said. Richard did stroke him.
Yeah, well, see, this is a secret. You have to go like this.
Emu is obviously a male. You call him he.
I don't know. I've never looked.
Emu just looked between his legs.
Yeah, it was
on
a bit of
American
crude,
TV.
Yeah, crude reference to the animal's penis.
There's
there.
There's a way of making friends with him if you have to go, who's a pretty emu then?
Okay,
who
so
wants
now,
a little chicky-chicky-chicky-choo?
Rod Hull is talking to his own arm at this point.
His arm is now rubbing his face.
Who's a little emu?
Johnny Carson is... Oh, he's got him. Right, Rod Hull has taken Carson by the throat. The crowd's gone wild, absolutely wild at this.
I wonder how legendary comedian Richard Pryor's reacted. He's out of shot at the moment.
Now, Richard himself is probably strung out on coke at this point in his career as well.
Sat next to a British man in a blue, like, explorer's suit.
Yeah.
And a giant, like, glittery emu on his lap. It's got to be wondering what the hell's going on.
How old a bird
is
emu, yes.
Well, you know how you tell the ages of trees?
By the rings?
By counting the... You have to count the rings on his feet. Would you like to try it?
So, he's going to...
Again, he moves.
He's got very sensitive feet.
Well, let's see this.
Just give him a little tickle just to make sure he's all right. There, you see?
He moves vibrating.
He's reacting to that. Oh, yeah, Carson, he's got Carson. He's got... Carson's head is pinned to the table. Look at that.
Yeah. I don't know what Americans would think of this.
To be honest, I don't know what British people thought of it. You know, it was a different time.
That bird doesn't Emu is stroking or pecking at Richard Pryor's afro.
Yeah. And Pryor himself looks... You know,
he looks terrified.
Fairly terrified by this.
It's coffee.
Is it?
So now, Richard Pryor's coffee is being tested by the new...
He looks so strung out on drugs.
Richard Pryor is fucking terrified at this point.
He's wondering if it's real.
Back to Carson. So Carson is now...
he's now team emu.
Yeah.
There we go.
So he's just doing it the wrong way.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, don't touch that, it's secret.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, sorry.
Does Emu have a girlfriend at all?
I don't think so.
No, just a bachelor Emu.
He's like Richard.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a little break here, and then we're going to ask Emu if it's all right. We have pause for a commercial.
Would you like to go for a commercial? He said no.
No. Well, we have to.
No, Rod Hull's just thrown himself over the desk, attacking.
And he pins down Carson there. And wonderful bit of television history there. I think, you know, sometimes we have to remember that, you know, some of the greatest TV memories ever have been made by puppets, people with, you know, sort of these things attached to their arms. You look at...
He's campsite entertainer, Rod Hull.
Yeah. You know, the idea of Keith Harrison Orville, you know, with that, remember the orange thing that Keith Harrison Orville had, an orange sort of chimp that would hang out.
Oh,
with
the naughty monkey.
The naughty monkey as well, you know, and this was the backbone of television. What was the other fella with he had a monocle, Lord Charles, again, sort of
so Cuddles. Cuddles the monkey.
Cuddles was the horrific orange monkey. That's a great thing to think about. You don't see that on television anymore. And maybe they should bring a few puppets back. You know, spice them up. Give them a 21st century approach, you know.
To be fair, Orville and cuddles, the both of them together do look like some kind of horrific.
It was
vision from a bad acid trip.
Yeah, everything about that really did sort of scream, "Get me the fuck out of here!" But I mean, as a child, you really had no option but other than to have to watch these things. I know in the sort of late 90s, early 2000s, Keith Harris came back and did a sort of sexually explicit version of that show for sort of students and, you know, the next generation of people. I feel that would have sullied the great memories I had of watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, what he could have done if he really wanted to push the bike, got someone like Grot Bags from... what was the Rod Hull? Do you know he had a TV show in a that was based in a windmill? I think it was called something like Rod Hull's Massive Windmill or something like that. And it was on.
Yeah, I'm not even going to look it up. Let's just assume that's what it was called.
But it was a TV, a kids' TV show called Rod Hull's Massive Windmill, and Grot Bags was one of the characters in that, which obviously was just an actress with green face paint up on and a curly wig. Now, you know, obviously there was a time when these things were popular, and as that popularity started to wane, someone like Keith Harris in Orville jumped on that second wave of making a bit sexually explicit. Now, if Rod Hull hadn't have fallen off of that roof so tragically, if he wanted to elongate this, what he could have done is set up a night where, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, he could have gotten Grot Bags involved and they could have just both stood on stage completely naked for half an hour. Grot Bags painted completely in green body paint. What's the emu man's name?
What's the Rod Hull.
Yeah. Rod Hull could have stood there completely naked. Grot Bags could have stood there completely naked, painted in green paint. And then, you know, possibly they could have done something horrific with the actual puppet. It's just an idea. Obviously that never happened because Sandy passed before.
No such thing as a bad idea, John.
No, there's not. And I think if you really wanted to, you know, take it to the next level as a puppet-based entertainer, have you ever thought about taking all your clothes off and standing on stage and doing something horrific with the puppet you use? You know, are you one of those entertainers from the 70s and 80s? If you're still alive, let us know, you know?
I've actually found two clips for you, John.
Okay.
The TV show you referenced was called Emu's All Live Pink Windmill Show.
It was the Pink Windmill, that's right. And Grot Bags featured heavily.
I've also found a clip of Keith Harris and Cuddles previewing their 1984 Christmas party.
Wonderful.
Watch this.
Delve this Christmas? Of course I will. Yes. Not like last year. Well, we'll fancy inviting all your mates over from that tea advert. All those chimps. There was tea all over the place, wasn't there?
It could have been worse.
Worse?
You could have those dogs over from that loo roll advert.
Yes, well, just behave yourself. Otherwise, there's no presents. What? I said no presents. You understand what I mean?
Yeah, for the presents, yes.
But what about Orville?
Orville?
Always having a go at Orville.
And now?
Yes, you are.
Daft duck.
He is not a daft duck.
I hate that duck.
Will you stop it? I mean, let's face, you told him that Father Christmas had left him £10.
What's all that?
You said £10 of sage and onion.
Proceed. The jokes
it's a
aren't
joke.
Great.
Yeah, what sort of a joke's that? Edge. An inside one.
I thought he was, I really wanted him to go, you're not coming, like you did last time at the Christmas party. You invited all those chimps from the tea advert and they just threw shit at each other. That was better.
And one of them squeezed his cheese helmet in front of a load of children and a load of special milk.
Exactly.
And it was horrible. Exactly. And we had to.
You won't get a present.
What used to really upset me about the Keith Harris thing was occasionally they'd do bits where he had Orville on his arm and they'd do sort of cutaways where it was an actor inside the Chuckles uniform. So you'd see Chuckles moving around independently and it had this horrible otherworldly look to it that really sent a shiver up your spine. Because you, as a child, you were like, it's a puppet, but that's fun. But when you saw him walking by himself, you just felt really uncomfortable with that. You know, it wasn't right. And I'm glad in many ways that doesn't, is Keith Harris still alive? I don't know. Can you Google that? But I mean, if he's still doing these sexy shows, you know.
If he was, I'm sure the lifeblood that you would get from doing it would be. There we go. He died in 2015 in Lancashire.
Right.
In Blackpool, okay. Where you'd imagine him to be.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if he was still going now, like I said, if he gets Grot Bags to stand there naked, he's naked there alongside Rod Hull. And then they've got someone inside the Chuckles outfit, not naked, but with a hole for the phallus. You know, I think that is...
Yeah.
People would have turned up for that, especially in this YouTube age where people will do anything for money. You know, I would have paid to see that in a way. I would have paid to see that.
He had a top 10 hit single in 1982 with Orville's song.
I wish I could fly.
And he learned ventriloquy as a teenager from his, and he used to perform in holiday resorts in the summer season. And then he was spotted by TV producers and he had his different shows. However, by 1990, the Quack Chat show was cancelled as audiences and television producers began to move away from variety performances.
Yeah, it's a sad time, isn't it? But there was a golden era of variety performance. I don't know if you remember. Quite often, I'll take a little trip down memory lane and I'll look at the... there was a TV show called The Good Old Days. Do you remember The Good Old Days at all? Have you ever seen this on the internet?
No.
So The Good Old Days, basically, right? We're talking, what, mid-70s, maybe towards the late 70s as well, recreating the magic of the Victorian Music Hall, but done in the 70s. So everybody, even the audience, dressed up like Victorians, but a load of comedians from the 70s would turn up and perform. Absolutely fantastic. You know, quite often on a winter's evening, I'll just settle down with a cup of hot chocolate, I'll put a blanket over myself and I'll put an episode of The Good Old Days on. And what a treat that is. If you're someone who's listening to this at the moment and you've never heard of The Good Old Days, pop home tonight. Or even if you're at home now, stop what you're doing. You know, if it's something, I don't know, looking after a cat or working, stop doing that now. Just type in The Good Old Days. Get yourself a nice cup of hot chocolate. Put a duvet on the sofa. Just watch that. And I tell you what, that's a real trip down memory lane. You can smell the cigarette smoke. You can smell the piss on the audience. You can feel that element of Thatcher's Britain being...
Yeah, you can feel your pocket being picked.
It's absolutely wonderful. And I tell you what, I don't know if you can Google The Good Old Days opening credits or anything. You know, if we've got something we could add on there to throw into this to add a bit of content.
I'll have a look. In the meantime, here is the... I've actually got an entire episode of... the Pink Windmill, but here's just the intro while I look, John. You can commentate.
Yeah.
And now, from Emu's world, somewhere in the heart of England, comes...
Emu's All Right Pink Windmill Show!
Absolutely fantastic. The cavalcade of fun. I mean, what the Grot Bags has already turned up. I've seen people dressed in period costumes. Obviously, Rod Hull playing various roles. And I can see fairground lights. I mean, as a seven-year-old boy, that is exactly what I'm looking for in my television. Also, a bunch of child actors from stage school have got that constant drug look of fun and excitement on their faces. Here comes Rod.
At the Pink Windmill. Isn't it good? It's going to be so different from all the last series you've seen, because that since the last series, a lot of kids have found out just where the Pink Windmill is. And we've got a whole bunch of them right here today with us in the Pink Windmill. Haven't we,
collected so many
right
children.
Yeah, exactly. He's got a live studio audience. If you were one of the children that were involved in this, let us know. We might be able to get you counselling.
Did Rod ever let you inside his Pink Windmill?
Yeah. Have you ever seen Rod's massive Pink Windmill? Let us know. Tweet us.
That's one of the cameras. Look, here it is.
Here we go. And then
John.
It's nice to be in the Pink Windmill. We can see the actual cameraman now. They've broken the fourth wall and Rod is hanging out with the cameraman.
Very innovative. I can't think of a variety performer turned TV presenter with a live studio audience of children who broke the fourth wall in this way before, John.
It's postmodern comedy at its peak.
Now he's going to go and peck children.
How are you? What's your name?
I look terrified.
Hello, Alexander. You all right? You don't have to worry. He likes you.
Look at him. He's going for the kids. This is just a ruse from...
It's not right, is it? I feel uncomfortable watching this now, I must say.
He's going through the crowd. He's now honed in on a teenage girl.
Yeah, he's fan. I think that's a teacher. Like possibly an adult teacher.
Well, she looks like a teacher.
From Mansfield.
You're from Mansfield.
Greg's Mill First School.
Greg's Mill First School. Oh, you've got look, you've got a yeah. pink women on your t-shirt. Oh, isn't it nice? Do you like it? I think it's very nice.
Can I just pause the clip here a moment? I've got to just notice something here. From, I suppose, the early days of television, anyone on television in the sort of late 60s through to the, I'd say, the mid 80s, everybody either looked sort of 65 or older, even if you were 11. In those times,
either you look under 65, either you look under 11 or over 65.
Yeah, I think that was it. You either look like a very sickly.
Puberty rapidly aged you to beyond 50.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what that was, but you definitely sort of started off as a child, clearly, and then something happened where you just started to chain smoke and drink, and overnight you looked like you were literally in your 70s. I mean, what we're talking about here is a live studio TV audience on Rod Hull's Big Pink Windmill. Obviously, in the crowd, there's a lot of 11-year-olds, but you can clearly see the teachers. Now, these teachers now, you think about the average age of a teacher these days, they're sort of between sort of 21 and 35. You know, if you've got kids, I mean, do you know roughly how old your kids' teachers are when you go to parenting?
Oh, they're like mid-40s.
Okay, so yeah, mid-40s, you know. Every teacher on this looks like they're in their 80s, but you can see it's just a result of living off of cigarettes. Because
I think it's probably the lead in the car fumes.
Yeah, I mean, again, yeah, there was a massive amount of lead in petrol. People smoked everywhere you went, you know, and people's diet in the 80s. I mean, you know, if you heard of an avocado in the 80s, you would have been a multimillionaire, you know. But these standard people, they live like animals, Reese. They live like absolute beasts, you know. And you can see they've really hammered themselves.
It was like nobody had a Peloton subscription.
Right? Nobody had Peloton, no. I mean, literally, the exercise bike was something that was spoken about. It's more likely if you had a bit of money.
Something the army did.
Yeah. I mean, these days, if you were rich, and I'm talking about that sort of mid-range rich where you've got two cars out the front. I'm not talking about multi-millionaire. But if you had a bit of cash, you probably would have bought a sunbed, which technically would have just helped age you. Do you know what I mean? You just would
have. You'd have that kind of like, it looked like you were all year round, you'd look like you just come back from holidays.
Yeah.
You had like super intense, you didn't wrinkle the same way. You look like, it was more like, oh, like thousands of tiny wrinkles.
Yes.
Like your skin, like it was melting your skin to be super thin.
Almost. Yeah. Like a sort of very thin wafery, but like a heavily used school satchel, those brown leather school satchels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
But not a brand new one, you know.
And also, you knew who had them. because these days you walk down a street at night, everyone's got those trendy LED lights and there's the rooms are glowing.
Yes.
But you used to drive, walk down the street and everyone with a sunbed, there'd be like a blue glow from the bedroom.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, in the 80s.
Like he didn't go to Spain. He lied.
No, they don't. Exactly. You know, they've got these. And I remember someone at the end of my road had one. Then there was chat about, you know, they apparently they used to lie on it completely naked, which was seen as being unhygienic. And I can agree with that. I mean, the thought of someone from the 80s, you know, sort of, you know, deodorant barely worked in those days. The idea of lying underneath a series of UV tubes, just letting liquids out of your body to absorb this intensely dangerous light just to melt your skin. And the fluids coming out of you, and dirty, horrible people, really, you know. But I mean, that's just the nature of it, isn't it?
Oh, sorry, the dog's barking because the delivery in our grocery delivery, leaving outside the front door is fine.
Will the bears not sort of come and rip that up, or?
No, it's fine. It's from Atlantic Superstore.
Okay. Alternatively, could you ask the kids to go and get that in for you?
Hang on a minute.
Yeah.
I'm recording.
Okay.
Right, don't worry, Ash. I'll get it once we're done. Yeah, sorry. It's one of the four. 25% of my kids came up the stairs to tell me. So, I love talking about my kids as percentages. Right, I'll take 75% of them with me, and the other 25 can go in your car.
What were we talking about? Yeah, people looking incredibly aged. I think there was that wonderful. There was that wonderful period. And these days, I think we've gone the other way. What people will do now is they'll inject a series of chemicals into their face to create this. You don't look young. You just look like your face has been stretched so much that there's no room for wrinkles anymore. I was just going to say, you know, in some ways, I respect those people who had sort of like three stumps of teeth, sort of yellow and rotted away with sort of paper thin skin. And, you know, that smell of piss coming off of them. At least that's real. You know, at least that's
I know, weird. At least it's a facade. And also the other thing is as well, you don't know if any photos of people are real because they all use those filters.
Well, this is the other thing. I mean, in those days you had a sort of shit.
Everyone looked awful in photos.
Yeah, you would have had one of those Kodak cameras that was sort of like an oblong shape and you fold the top off and it makes it into an L shape. And then, you know, you take your picture. They were shit. They didn't work properly.
Or disposable cameras on a night out.
Yeah, they were very popular at one point. You know,
I got a good music-related story for you, one of those.
Oh, go on. Yeah, go on.
One of the biggest regrets of my entire life. I went to watch Bloodhound Gang in Cardiff for my brother.
Oh, wonderful. Now, before we go any further, just for people who are not familiar with Bloodhound Gang, can you just, a few of the songs, a few of the hits that got you into
Like Bad Touch. Loads of song. Kiss Me or It Smells Funny.
Yes.
All the hits.
Yeah, all the hits, yes.
They had a couple of hits in the UK. Foxtrot Uniform Charlie Kilo.
Yes.
Fire Water Burn.
Yes.
Bad Touch was the big hit for them.
That was the big hit. If you're not familiar with it, just Google it and treat yourself.
Purposefully offensive and poor taste. Kind of rock / rap band from Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And so we went to watch them, and they had a disposable camera on stage, and they were like taking pictures down the front of their trousers. They were taking pictures of each other spitting on each other, all that kind of stuff. and then they threw the camera into the crowd,
the audience,
and it just like landed about 2 meters away from me, and I like hesitated, and somebody else was roughly the same distance, almost equidistant from me, and they kind of looked at me and they just had way faster reflexes and went and got it. And I was thinking, to this day, who knows what was on their camera, but I could have had some amazing photos of one of the most poor taste and horrific behaving bands that I've ever seen live.
Do you know what, though? If you still have those photos, if you develop them, you could probably sell them on eBay for at least £11 or £12, which I know. That would have been a treat, you know, a real treat.
I know, but I mean, still, it was. I watched them.
Did you have a good time though? That's
I did have a good time. They were crazy, They were crazy. Yeah. They were spitting on the crowd, and the crowd was spitting on them. And I kept a safe. I stayed out of the splash zone. So
yeah, when with that sort of thing, you do you know you enjoy it, but you don't want to get that much involved, really. You know, it's
in like 2004, like people weren't worried about you know the infectious potential of you know. Saliva at rock concerts
again. So. You know, it was the carefree days of 2004. Literally, you could spit on anyone in the street, and they just get on with it, just rub it into their eyes and crack on. You know,
but yeah, they wouldn't go, "Oh my god, do I need to do a test?"
Yeah, it wasn't like that. We were free and easy in those days. You know, I clearly remember, you know, the idea of people sort of just exchanging underwear because it was they liked someone else's underpants. They just, I like boxers. I'm wearing jockeys. Do you want to swap? And clear memories of friends just undressing in front of me and putting each other swapping them. You know, it was fine. Yeah. There was hygiene was very different in those days. Very, very different. You know, but
it was. Yeah, I got some other videos if you want to watch.
Yeah, go, let's ram jam it with fun. Yeah, let's
are you? This is going to be more for us because I've got to describe it and other people have got to go find it. Are you a fan of cool 3D cool world or cool 3D world?
No, I've heard of cool 3D world and I have seen the video. So if you don't know what it is, it's quite hard to explain. But
it's an incredibly talented 3D animation, like 3D animator,
yes,
and designer. But
yes,
they use their skills purely for evil.
Yeah, I mean, what they're doing really is creating. I think the term on the internet these days is nightmare fuel.
Yes.
I think that is the common term by the young. And well, I mean, if you've got a video there, I think
I've got my favorite one. Oh, I want to show you.
Then let's unleash it and we can describe it in detail as it happens. So
okay, you ready?
Reese's line. Okay, so I can see a computer generated image here of two chefs, which is fine. Yeah. But these are incredibly well generated graphics. So they look relatively real, but there's a comedy element. Now they are, yeah, okay. So again, I'll try and explain this. Have you seen the film Alien? Or are you familiar with people involved in combat? Right, soldiers. Quite often, people will place their open hand on a table, and using a knife, they'll what's the word? Stab the spaces in between their fingers.
Yeah. It's like a test of like bravery and skill.
Yeah. We'll see it in action movies quite a lot. So these chefs have got a twisted amalgamation of arms with feet on the end, hands. One of the chefs is kneeling down with his tongue out, and then a series of other arms are coming into the fray and then randomly dotting the knives around the limbs.
Should I continue?
Yeah. Now we're getting a wider shot. We can see these, Okay.
Stabbed his toe.
One of the chefs has stabbed a toe, which is attached to a foot, which seems to be attached to an arm, or at least a leg. Oh, God, now there's some sort of liquid coming out of this toe. The three chefs are now lovingly holding up the injured leg, and a sort of orange liquid is coming out to a bowl. They all look quite happy with it, and then one of the chefs has popped the liquid into a bowl and they're just popping a little garnish on top of that, like a type of soup there.
And now they're going to serve it.
Now we can see the three chefs looking lovingly at the soup, and then there's a fade. We can see a table with the soup on and four businessmen sat around the table. Oh, Christ, one of them looks heavily deformed. They all look like maniacs, like literally they've been in a home. Oh my Christ. Okay, so this is quite hard to describe. We've gone from watching the chefs preparing the soup by piercing themselves, essentially. The soup has then been transferred into a bowl on a table with four businessmen who have the look of, I really don't know how to explain it, but the look of psychotic maniacs. One of the businessmen is just taking a mouthful of the soup. And I'm okay, that's fair enough. What's going to happen next? The scene now has cut to a chopping board, an average-sized chopping board, with a tiny, 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 tiny man in a pair of miniature pants, whilst what I'm assuming is one of the chefs is stood around him with a knife, again, carrying out the stabbing process around the limbs of the man who splayed out on the chopping board. This is, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're listening to this. Yeah. Yeah. And I can see the chef is, Jesus Christ. And we're looking at this semi-naked man on the board in sheer terror as this chef is stabbing the areas around him. Oh, Christ. Oh, dear. He stabbed him in the penis, and then there's a lot of orange. Oh, so the tiny man attached to the chopping board has accidentally been stabbed in the, I mean I'm not going to hold back, he's been stabbed in the penis and there's a lot of orange liquid coming out of him. He's now screaming in pain, his face is contorted into what I don't know what he looks like. It's not human anymore. And the chef's just quite satisfied with continuing to stab him as the liquid's coming out. What happens next? I don't know. What happens next? I do not know. Oh. Jesus. Okay, so the three chefs are smiling on. Cut black. Is that it?
That was the end.
That is probably one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen. But at the same time, I couldn't stop looking at it.
If you want people want to watch that, they should look on YouTube for real. Cool 3D world and chefs.
Yeah.
There's a great one called Hygiene as well. And a new one called Tennis as well. But don't be misled by those titles. They're all horrific.
Yeah. I mean, none of these things are family friendly. It's quite easy if you've got young
kids.
Don't
put it on for the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite easy if they're just browsing YouTube, they are going to end up seeing something like this. And do you know what? If you are a parent, there's no way you can ever stop this. You might be able to hold back for a few years, but eventually they will end up seeing it. You've got to
teach them to make good choices.
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, this is the sort of digital equivalent to us finding a horrible porno mag up the woods. You know what I mean? It's the modern day equivalent, but a lot more mind bending. Because at least, to be honest, when we were kids and we found a sexy magazine up the woods, there was something educational about it. You know, to see a pair of boobs in a fanny did lead on to questions that took you onto medical journals. Whereas if you find a video now of a computer animated chef stabbing a tiny man in the penis to reveal a massive amount of orange juice coming out of him, where does that take you as a person later in life? It's a question we all have to ask ourselves, I suppose. But that's the nature of it.
Question.
Yeah.
I got a game for you, John.
Okay. Yeah. Go on. I like a game. Yeah.
It's called Guess What Film I Watched Last Night.
Was it Threads, the film about nuclear war?
No.
Oh, shit. Okay. Is the film American?
Yes.
Is the film a science fiction comedy?
No, it's sci-fi, but there are some funny moments.
Okay. Has the film been produced in the past 10 years?
No.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Is the film something you would have gone to the cinema to see first time it came out?
No.
Would you pay to see this film in the cinema?
Well, somebody did back in 1987.
1987. So that's a bit of a clue there you've thrown
there
in.
There we go. Look at that. See what I did there?
Yeah, 1987. Did you watch this film with your family or secretly alone because you were ashamed?
Secretly alone.
Okay. When you say sci-fi, is the film set in space or is it a time travel film? Is it
it's not set in space. I'll give you another clue. It's not a time travel film. It was released in 1987, but it's set in 2017, which at the time was a distant future.
And it is an American film, is that correct?
It is an American film, yeah.
Right, I've got to think about this. Does the film involve humans all the way through, or do we have robots and
Humans?
Just humans.
Glorious humans.
Does it star any massive smash hit actors?
Yes.
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger in it?
Yes.
Did you watch The Running Man?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic.
Did you use the internet for help then?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. Honestly, I did not. I didn't. But that 1987 classic film, what a great film. Have you got the trailer there? Is there any chance we can watch that?
I could find it, but I was going to say my favorite bit. You know when he's fighting Buzzsaw? You know, they've got all the different... If anyone's never watched The Running Man, in the future, it's like Hunger Games before... Mm. 30, 40 years before Hunger Games came out.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Gladiators. It's basically Gladiators, the TV show.
Yeah. But they actually kill. And there's a guy called Buzzsaw, who kind of looks a bit like a obese Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And he fights with chainsaws.
Yeah.
And Arnie wrestles the chainsaw and puts it up through his... up through his cheese and into his body.
Yeah, right through his cock and balls.
And the line he delivers afterwards is, he had to split.
And isn't there a bit where he has to, in the because Arnold Schwarzenegger, great one-liners, there's one called Sub-Zero, I think, in there as well. And he's got a line, something like, I bet you're really cold now, or something like that.
Chill out.
Yeah, and there's a bit where like he has to sign sort of a contract, or, you know, some sort of bit of paperwork just before the game show starts. And he signs it on the back of a guy and then stabs the pen into the guy's back and says something like, full stop on that, you cunt, or something, you know.
Exactly.
It's something like that, you know. And all the one-liners are great because you've got, what are the list of them? You've got Buzzsaw, which, he says.
Fireball, is one of the other one.
Fireball, so he's, and obviously when Fireball dies, he says something like, I bet you're fucking really hot now. Or
no sweat.
Yeah, no sweat. Fucking genius, absolute genius. And whatever is going on in the situation.
Dynamo was the other one. Remember brilliant, that my favorite Dynamo drives around in like a weird electric buggy.
Yes.
And sings opera while he shoots people with electricity.
Yes. And again, with that, you know, one-liners, I had to pull the string repeatedly to get you to work and then you died. It's just something shit. It's just really shit. It's incredibly shit.
Such a good film though.
But what I'd love to watch that again. How did you, was it VHS on the internet?
No. My friend has got this really epic server that he collects. Probably not semi-legal. He set it up when he lived in Norway and he missed English language TV. And now he lives back in Canada again. And he's got this epic online server I can access on my smart TVs that he just basically keeps. He's like, any of the new films that are out?
Yeah.
He puts on there. It's great.
Oh, now you're talking. I mean, you don't need new films.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, sorry.
Go on. Yeah, go on. Yeah, go on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to play that then.
Well, is that the trailer from...
this is the Running Man trailer. I'll play
go
it.
On
it
like yeah, go on, go on.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is forced into a deadly game on the highest rated TV show of the future.
No time!
No one has ever survived. He has yet to play. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the Running Man.
I'll be back.
Rated R. Starts Friday at a theater near you.
Fucking
great
brilliant.
Soundtrack there too.
Fucking brilliant. Clearly, I think Schwarzenegger is much better than Stallone. I think all Stallone did was a couple of boxing films and that one about, you know, fucking being frozen and coming back to life.
Oh, do you know what? Demolition Man. I absolutely love Demolition Man.
Well, you see, the thing with Demolition Man, I'd never bothered watching it, but you'd mentioned it to me a lot, and I only saw it for the first time probably about 8 years ago, 9 years ago.
You should have seen it in the 90s.
But you know, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thoroughly enjoyed it now. I really did.
Wesley Snipes is such a good bad guy in it.
It's amazing. I mean, when you say amazing, it's really terrible, but fantastic at the same time.
But if you like Running Man, then it's exactly the kind of... And I remember going to Planet Hollywood as a kid, and they had a giant frozen naked Sylvester Stallone just hanging above our table where we ate.
Fuck, imagine that, dreaming of taking that back home to your bedroom. Not for a sexual, you know, just because like you'd have it on your bedroom.
Just put some legs on it and turn it into a coffee table, because it was like a cylinder shape, the ice block he was in.
Wonderful. How did you end up in Planet Hollywood? I mean, that must have been a great day out for any young boy. How did that?
Was great. I had an alcohol free cocktail called ET, and I threw up.
Do you remember TFI Friday that opened up in Cardiff in the late 80s?
If it's your birthday, that you have to stand up and they sing your birthday.
Yeah, I went there and I had it was called a chocolate, I think it was called a cream chocolate soda. And that basically was carbonated water with chocolate ice cream syrup in it. And I thought it was one of the best things I'd ever had in my life. I mean, it was fucking horrific. And if I was to pay money for that now, I'd ask for the money back. But at the time, you know, a badly cooked beef burger with carbonated water with chocolate sauce in it, I literally thought this is how Americans live. I was like, this is what they do every day.
I remember my nan, who she remembers the Americans when they were GIs.
Right.
In World War II, and they were always like, they knew them from movies,
yes.
And she knew them as GIs. So in her head, they were like this mythical Americans with these like glamorous mythical people.
Yeah.
And then when she was like 78, they took her to Florida, and she came back, and I was like, oh, you've always wanted to go to America, you know, all those Americans you got to know. And she was like, oh, I was really disappointed. They're just like normal people.
It's true though, isn't it? You know, you grew up. I literally thought that everybody had a leather jacket and drove a talking car, and then
killed someone, and then had a good line.
Exactly.
When they shoot each other, they don't have it. They just, it's pretty bland, the dialogue.
Yeah. And if someone gave you shit, you literally would just call someone, and four blokes in a van with a machine gun would come around and kill them for you. Like that was exactly. The magic of America as a child.
And then every city had like the mafia.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, clearly, yeah. I mean, it looked great as a kid. And then when you actually go there, it's just, you know, I mean, people are killing each other, but it's not in a fun way, you know.
The same three shops repeated over and over again.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, you know. So I was quite severely let down. I mean, when I was about 17, I knew an American kid who had something to do with... his dad has something to do with the army. And so he was over here in Britain. And his name was Thomas Earl Ward III, which was a great name already.
Nice.
And I mean, the most impressive thing Tommy ever did, and I wasn't even there to see it, was he ate an entire cigarette on a school bus and then was violently sick afterwards. But best thing I've ever seen an American do. And I wasn't even there to see it. But that is literally, you compared to what I dreamt of Americans doing, that is the pinnacle for me, really.
Although the pinnacle of the American experience for me is the Cheesecake Factory. I don't know if you've ever been there.
So, yeah. So have you been into Cheesecake Factory?
Basically, the plan is you order a meal, and the meal is so big that any normal person will be able to take... They always give you, okay, you can have a box and you can take whatever you don't eat off your plate home with you.
Right, okay.
You've got enough food to last you and everyone else like 3 days from that one meal.
Right, good, yeah.
And there's cheesecake and booze.
Fucking hell.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah, that is actually quite good. I went... What's that horrible thing they've got in America where if you go there... there's these sort of wind-up electronic dolls that move. Chuck E. Cheese?
I've never been to one of those, no.
I went to one of them a few years ago. I was in America probably about 4 or 5 years ago and went to a shopping. Oh, well, I had to do it. Literally had to do it because it was like, right, in America, I'm going to go to one. It was at the top of a sort of shopping center. And, you know, they're for kids, right? They've got like a play area. And it's these sort of robotic dolls and they give you food. I just walked towards it, thought, I'm going to go and look at it just to see what it's like. And there was sort of dirt. There was like bits of shit on the walls and there was no one in there. There was a great sadness descended over me. And I just thought, no, this is not for me. And I left America and I have never been back.
When I was working with Rod, he came up with a great line. I felt as welcome as a turd in a soft play.
Yeah, there you go. That sort of sums it up, doesn't it? Talking of which, have you ever been to a place where you found a turd? I went to Newport Leisure Centre once and there was a turd floating in the pool. Have you ever been to a place where you found a turd?
Joe, where I work, there was a mystery going on where there was every now and again, maybe once or twice a month, in the toilet, there was a turd. but it was perfectly clean and there was no paper.
Yeah.
And it was almost as if someone went in, just dropped it and then didn't wipe and left.
Left again, yeah.
And they just, and it would just happen sometimes. You go in there and you go, whoa. And then you just go, oh my God, like, how did they pull this off?
Do you, where you work, is it like your office and then they're shared offices that all share the same?
Yeah, there's a bunch of other businesses in there.
Okay, so it could have been anyone. I worked at a Christmas tree decoration factory in the late 90s.
Sounds more fun than it probably was.
Very much like my vision of America, that the dreams were all broken the moment I stepped through the door. But one of the things that I found there was we had a lot of glass baubles and things imported from Poland. They'd be literally coming in these giant sort of, you know, articulated lorries. And quite often the drivers from Poland would get there maybe late on a Sunday night. So they'd sleep in their cab and drop all the glassware off on the Monday morning. And I've seen a Polish truck driver shit. And that wasn't very nice. You know, that was on the side. That was down the side of a warehouse. And that that was pretty horrible.
That's cool. Yeah. I think that's a really good way to end the show.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. I think we should just sum it up and move on now. You know, that's a good show.
A lot. Rod Hull, Richard Pryor.
A Polish man's shit.
Polish man's shit. And the disappointing reality of America.
Yeah, which is, it's a great podcast. And I'm honoured to be doing it, to be honest.
Oh, and we didn't even mention Mike. Mike's doing his sitcom.
Yeah, Mike's filming his sitcom. That'll be on proper television soon. Well, probably about a year or so from now.
Distracting him from a real project like this.
Yeah, I mean, that's real stuff, isn't it? That actually will go somewhere. So
yeah, what did he say? He said, boys, I'm very aware that I'm even more useless than usual.
Yeah.
And then he said he's a huge fan of John's fart work because he sent us a video of you farting.
Oh, I tell you what, just before I end off, I can just play that down the phone just as
we go. I got to say, this group chat is full of crimes to humanity.
Here we go. Let's end on this. And
bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
The Demon Sea.
Lock up. You must be mistaken.
It's now. It's here.
Come on down here and help us.
Demon Sea.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.